Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guests are Ronald and Philip Kinsella. Before I bring them on, a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. We're currently banned from YouTube with a strike for another week and a half, so we won't be there for a little while. Check us out on Rockfin. This is where you get all of our content, all our premium content, and best of all the shows from every creator that's there on Rockfin. You're going to want to check out the podcast that we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. Check those out. You get those all on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news, and follow us on Facebook, both of our pages, Forbidden Knowledge News and the Forbidden Knowledge Network. Those links are in the description. And what is it that Big Pharma fears most? It's you being healthy and not part of the perpetual cycle of being poisoned by our Big Pharma and our medical industry. Break yourself free and check out what may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. C60 Purple Power has been personally outstanding for me. But do your own research. Click the link in the description. Check out their website. And if you order, you can get 10% off plus free shipping. And you can get C60 for your pets. So go check that out. Today I want to welcome back to the show Ronald and Philip Kinsella. Ronald is a writer, artist, and hosts a radio show, Twin Souls, along with his identical twin brother Philip, which is part of the Paranormal UK network. Ronald has been studying UFO subject for many years, and Philip is an award-winning medium and has appeared on national television and international radio. He has authored various books and many articles, not only on UFOs, but also aspects of the afterlife. Ronald and Philip, welcome back. How are y'all doing?
We're okay, thank you very much, Chris, and thanks for having us back on again. This is Philip.
And this is Ronnie. Yes, it's great to be on your show again. Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's great to have you back, and luckily I've got your nameplates correctly on the screen, so it'll be displayed correctly so everyone knows who is speaking. So it's going to be a great time, and it has been a while since you have both been on, and we were just talking about this, man. We live in a much different world, even since when we last spoke, where, you know, amongst everything else, it seems that folks at least have a bit more of an open mind to this type of phenomenon, especially in the last couple of years, which makes this very interesting. And your stories are both very interesting, and you've done some great research into the phenomenon. And last time you were on, we had a great conversation, and I want to go even deeper tonight. So it's been a while since you've been on, and I'd love it if you both could remind the audience how you got involved with this research and how the phenomena kind of manifested and started in your lives.
Yes, well, with both of us being identical twins, we're 7 minutes apart, and I, Philip, are the oldest by 7 minutes. I had no wish to really become involved with the UFO aspect of investigations, but the encounter of a sphere with our maternal grandmother when we were quite young, that spurred an interest within the subject. But it wasn't until some years later, in 1989, when we lived in the village of Marston Mortain, in just outside Bedfordshire, in the winter, that I had what is termed, what you would term an alien abduction. And of course, during that point, I wasn't happy with the way that the events led. And I wanted to investigate this further because, as I was led to believe, an abduction happened on a very physical level of integration. However, without going into too much detail, because it's very long-winded, one part of the experience that I had with my brother and my sister and a dog in the house had been a physical observation of this being, but by myself and the dog, of all things. And then the abduction, as they call it, happened in the early hours of the morning on a different level of integration. And this is why I was so interested to try and fathom out what we are dealing with in terms of abductions and also with regards to the greys. And Ronnie will speak for as well.
Yes, I mean, after this sphere we saw with our grandma in 1982, we were 13. That year in winter, I was taken. And it took me years to work out that it was actually an abduction. You know, I wasn't interested in the subject then. And of course, you couldn't talk about it. You could be considered mad, a crackpot. But they who took me were doctors, or they were shielded or armored. I couldn't see their faces. They were doctors pressing for an operation. They kept harping on about an operation. And they put me out. They knocked me out when I saw them. I've documented all this anyway, to put me back down. And then they showed me the hologram or image of a Cheshire cat. And I couldn't work out what the image of the Cheshire cat meant until 30 years later. Then I realized it might have been an insurance policy on their behalf. They showed me that so that when I go to see a psychologist, they'd consider me completely mad. They'll say, no, hang on a minute, you've seen Alice in Wonderland. But do you know what did it for me, Chris? What caused this confusion? It's the fact that the doctor spoke the Queen's English and the Cheshire Cat. So it's as if it was magic, but it wasn't. Something very nasty was twisting reality or making me see something completely different from what they might be. That's what I've learned now about it. It wasn't a very positive experience, and nor was yours.
No, mine was very negative. But, you know, you can be labelled within this Department of Investigations of someone who just makes something up or is deluded. But I doubt very much that both of us, and indeed many other good researchers, investigators, experiences, abductees, whatever department that you fall within, you know, are chasing some kind of dream. And I think that through my experience and through Ronnie's experience and what we've gone through, I tend to link my investigations more into the research now, which is passionate, a drive towards the truth of what we're dealing with, because on an empirical level of conscious awareness, we still don't know what we're dealing with. And I'm absolutely convinced that we have to go outside the comfort zone of this, you know, kind of like contained materialistic phenomena that's stuck in a box. And any suggestion of anything that could possibly be affecting this is instantly dismissed. But now what's interesting is that a lot of researchers, a lot of people are beginning to open up to the interdimensional or hyperdimensional hypothesis. And this is something that I wrote about back in 1996 with regards to the trying to put the pieces together about what the greys were, where they came from. And just very quickly, I know that you have to be very careful, and I have to stress here that both Ronnie and I are very open to all forms of, you know, what these things could be. We're not putting ourselves in a box and saying this is what it is. But a lot of the research that we've been doing shows us to a point that we are dealing with something that could be beyond the parameters of our space-time understanding. So that is really fascinating.
You're referring to being perhaps interdimensional.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And I want to get a lot deeper into that aspect of it. And how old were you both when this kind of first major event occurred again?
13 with the 13. Sphere with our grandmother. Then you were 13
with
the doctors.
Or the alleged doctors.
And we, well, what happened was that we had come back from South Africa and lived in Luton, an old big Victorian house. And our grandparents lived in Middlesex in Feltham in a big house there. And then when we moved then to Marston Mortain, and I was 20 years of age when I had that experience with the abduction, as they call it. I know people criticize me and saying, well, why do you state it could be an abduction? Well, I still don't know what it was. Although we have to have labels for things, we have to understand that, you know, the way that I think is trying to put the pieces together. And interestingly, another researcher, another good researcher, with regard to my experience that I had back in 1989, he put two parts to the puzzle together that shocked me, that I had been completely unaware of. And this tells us that this phenomena may be very old, that the intelligences behind it are very old, but they seem to interact on a personal level of psychic integration. And this is why when I've been dealing with the research of the abduction phenomena, I was then looking into another area of consciousness, which seemed to parallel the abduction phenomena, which is the near-death experience. Although they're both very different, they seem to operate upon the same parameters, as it were. And so this is what led me into more in the investigations of what a certain faction, we can't label all of them, as the wonderful Kathleen Marden told us once, that, you know, it could be a rogue group of greys.
No, this is the trouble with this subject. And I'll just say it bluntly. We keep referring to them as alien, but are they? In alien in a sense as being off-world. You see, we're open to all forms of speculation. Now, you will have some people who will categorically swear that they are from here or they are from there. We don't know. They could be off-world. I'm not discounting that. They could be interdimensional. They could be from under the sea or from Antarctica, from within the Earth. I'm not discounting it. Or even, as I speculated, we could be dealing with, as laughable as it may seem, the dead. I mean, it is not so fantastic as we would refer to them being out of space. Is it possible that this force or this intelligence has fashioned itself to appear very elaborate, that it does use flying saucers, tongue-in-cheek, no pun intended, and to appear as spacemen? You see, this is wonderful. The thing is, I think the wonderful thing about this subject is we are open to all forms of speculation, and we must keep that window open, because if we are tunnel vision, it's going to cause problems. I know of one particular person who was adamant, absolutely adamant, they're from the future. I'm not discounting that, but we cannot swear blind on that.
Yes, and I think also, the one area of the abduction phenomena that really fascinated me with regards to the greys, because they were part of the experience that I had. Again, we get to that very difficult and painful area of whether or not we are dealing with spacemen from another planet, interdimensionals, hyperdimensionals, whether or not they are demons, and the list goes on. But what really whetted my appetite about them was the fact of this so-called interest from the greys with regards to reproduction. Now, for me, that sounded quite suspect many years ago. Why a species that cannot reproduce are interested in, you know, some form of replication or biological ingestion and creating a new hybrid. And as I said before, other researchers, I was very honored to have met Dr. David Jacobs many years ago in Arizona, and he has his own thoughts about it. And I think it's wonderful that we're able to, you know, try and stretch the mind into areas, because, you know, although Ronnie always laughs and says, you know, academics don't get
academics don't
eat off gold plates. It's like, it's really great to be able to think outside the box. So my idea is that perhaps with regards to most of the phenomena, a lot of it, and we have to be honest with everything here, is frightening, and there is a level of security which is trying to dampen down the subject to the public. And not least of all, researchers were, you know, opening their own cans to have a look inside. But I think and feel that, you know, most of the phenomena, because it's so unpredictable and seems to attach itself to individuals on a personal level of integration, this is worrying. But also, at the same token, if I can sound a little bit contradictory here, fascinating, because we need to find out what is causing this phenomena, why we have these reports of UFOs and personal integration, the honest, truthful people with regard to abductions or those experiences, and also looking at the variety of the world with regards to Skinwalker Ranch in Utah and other hotspots around the world. And I think this is very fascinating. And a lot of researchers are really, really pushing the boundaries to find out just what this is and where it's coming from.
Yeah, I was always confused, Chris, when I researched this subject. I was thrown by this concern then in the 50s and 60s of atomic warfare. You know, these Nordics come down and they're expressing their concern of us using these devastating weapons. But it didn't add up, really, because, you know, they did absolutely nothing. You know, I got slapped on the hand for actually suggesting that they have done nothing to nullify any of the nuclear silos across the world, which they can do. If they're so concerned, they can knock them out. We build more. They knock them out again. They've won. We don't understand. We're scratching our heads, but they've won. They haven't. And also, why would they go to people with non-governmental influence? It didn't make any sense. So is this a deception? And also on top of that, they seem to change faces, don't they? We have the Nordics, and now we have the Greys. Before that, there were probably goblins or different types of creatures, a multitude of elaborate expressions. But I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. What I'm saying is, are they the real McCoy? Are we dealing with something that can change faces as swiftly as it can change ships? Or, to put it in another phrase, whatever is in vogue. I mean, when Steven Spielberg brought out First Encounters of the Third Kind, let's be honest, the Greys became popular. Is something using that to infiltrate us with that kind of guise or that fancy? It's only speculation.
Now, Ronald, I've been along those lines of thinking for actually a few years now, that the possibility this could be some kind of grand trickster intelligence that has the ability to shift our perception through consciousness. I've been knowing for a couple of years that there's heavy, heavy connections to paranormal activity, even the afterlife. The more I look into this, it all seems to be part of this massive onion that we need to keep unpeeling layers and layers, and it all seems to be connected. Now, before these major incidences that you've experienced, did you experience paranormal activity? A lot of people who have a lot of contact in abductions also have paranormal activity connected.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and this is what led me into the understanding of consciousness, the soul, survival of, you know, if we survive death. And that was another area which really intrigued me. And I researched that I'm still researching it today. And it seems strange that, you know, even in our childhood, both of us had some very strange things happen to us. But when we got from the age of 13 beyond that point till I got to 20, not really much happened in the way of experiences. It was more within our childhood. And then, of course, when we got to the age of 13, then it seemed to calm down. And then when I got to 20, the phenomena has apparently, although I may be eating my words here, the last visual and recorded sighting that we had of three massive UFOs, this has been documented on the 9th of April, 2016 at 11:15 p.m. at night here. That was the last time. We've seen no more.
Nothing.
And also, one of the main interesting areas is that when we reach a certain age, are we no longer any use to them? Well, we have to take that into the fray. But our argument is, you know, people, they have this wonderment about seeing UFOs and then filming them. But, you know, what we found is that unfortunately, within the UFO field of investigations, you know, when you have sightings, it's not so fantastic anymore. And I go back to what you said when you said there's more of an open-mindedness or awareness with this. And I think because of, you know, the programs that's being released, Ancient Aliens, and also with the Skinwalker Ranch and the Curse of Skinwalker Ranch, and thank goodness to, the researchers there, Brandon Frugal and his team are doing an amazing, what we found amazing was the fact that he is allowing the public to see what they're doing. And I think that is really heartwarming from our perspective to think, wow, they're not holding back. Whereas, you know, in the old days, the military establishments have contained any form of filming of UFOs or, you know, anything of that kind that does not fit within the current programmed curriculum of what the system wants us to believe.
Yes, but it's always one step ahead. And I said this in my book, as I suggested about, as we're talking about, I'm glad we have similar views on that, Chris, you know, about, you know, the many faces it wears or this phenomena seems to address. It's the fact that it's always one step ahead. You can't catch it. It's like trying to catch shadows. It will leave no evidence, if any at all.
You know, so it's like when I saw the triangular ship, I saw one, I think it was, I know it sounds dubious because I haven't recorded it, but I did record it because then I wasn't published, I wasn't interested in the phenomena. It was about 2010, I saw a triangular ship in broad daylight, and it came over the house. The strange thing about this was, it was huge. The strange thing about this was, now what's ironic about this, talking about these UFOs, is that a few years prior to that, I had been to some friends, and one of them was a top researcher, and he described to me that he believed the triangular ships were military. Well, I can assure you this thing was not. Also, what's interesting is what I took good note of it was the corners. Now, when he showed me all these pictures, which were amazing, and I don't doubt them, you know, they're very sharp, then they were sharp. The one I saw, its corners were rounded, beautifully smooth. I had a good look at this. It was 7:15, around 7:15 in the afternoon. It was August. The sun was still up, and I could see the side of it, and it had grooves along the side, one side of it. The belly of it, the undercarriage, had no machinery. It was just smooth. There were no engines. There was no sound, and it traveled the speed of a plane. Now, you asked about what really pushed us into this. It was that final one then in 2010. That pushed me to write the book. My first book was called Twin Souls. It's out of print now, but it was done by Capel Bann. But it pushed me because I thought, when I saw this, I thought to myself, firstly, that's not military, because let's be honest, the military are smart. They're very, very smart. They're not going to fly super secret aircraft over civilian airspace, certainly not towns. They wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. They're smart. So this was anything but. Another thing I noticed about this craft was the fact when it passed over, we have a lot of birds where we are, lots of birds everywhere. When it crossed, there were none. Now, these came afterwards. I did observe the thing passing, and I noticed there were no birds, but you don't think about it till later on. So that's what spurred my initial interest in actually trying to voice your opinions on it, your observations. But my God, you know what? When you do that, you're in for a battle, aren't you? Because you have so much against you and so little for you, especially if you, some people consider you perhaps to outshine them, or they think outshine them. So you're in a snake pit, aren't you, when you come out with this?
But we've been happy to be linked with a lot of really good and wonderful prominent researchers. And the thing is, what's really wonderful is that many of them are very open-minded. And you know, in terms of, because all we're all doing is trying to find the truth and to find out what this is. Now, with regards to the abductions and with regards to the Greys and the way that they, you know, come forward without warning, what's interesting about them is that they appear to be devoid of the very attributes that make us human. And I know that I've looked into the antediluvian cultures and creation, and I'm absolutely convinced that we were the byproduct of some form of genetic manipulation on a monumental scale. But I don't feel that they were by the Greys, because the Greys appear to be devoid of all the emotions, the memories, and it's almost like they're looking for something to recreate themselves. Now, this poses another paradox with regards to consciousness, the soul. And I think that, you know, when we look at ourselves as a human species, we've been sold the fact that we live and we die as though we're some kind of biological automaton. Now, I know that's not true. At least I have enough evidence to suggest this is not the case. And I think that our journey here on this earth plane is only a very small walk through time. And I believe what could be happening is that in this form that we are generating memories and experiences. Now, the Greys, you know, if they have cloned themselves beyond the point of, you know, their replication program has cancelled themselves out of creation itself.
Beyond exhaustion.
Yeah, it could be possible that they no longer have the attributes that they once connected with. And lest we not forget, in the interdimensional hypothesis, it could be possible that the Greys are from a much older universe. And this is why they come across as the way they do. And they have discovered us as a prominent species that reproduces. And I think that perhaps we have to look at that area, that they could be from a completely different universe or a hyper universe. and that this is why they are so different from us. But we as a species appear to be moving in that direction where the system that we serve wants us all to, you know, think the same, not have your own thoughts. And it's very disconcerting. Ronnie has written about this in his book, The Digital Demon, which our mentor, Philip Mentel, has published, about the future of where we're being directed. So the question is, when we're looking into the Department of Ufology, is that are there some departments or secret organizations that know a lot more than what we do? I'm not saying that they've got it all worked out, but that they're trying to guide us towards this AI nightmare.
Yeah, there's a point that might match that up. It's the fact that in my book that was published last year, last March, Jack Vallee bought out a book called, Infinity. Was it called Infinity?
No, it wasn't called Infinity.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trinity. I'm sorry. We've read it. No disrespect to him. Now, I first, because I kept thinking about the Roswell crash, if it happened, which I believe something did. I believe something exotic crashed down there. My opinion was, and I came out with this a year before that, because Philip Mantle was aware of it, because we published the book year after in 2021 in March. I came up with a hypothesis. Was it a Trojan horse? Was it deliberately steered down by something for us to gain this technological equipment? You know, we can decipher it. And if so, that would tally with what you're saying, because if we're moving down the cybernetic era, when they discover and understand this technology, that we will become like them, perhaps prisoners, or they want us to be prisoners in a cybernetic age. If that is the case, it's only hypothetical. If that is the case, then they're very patient and also ancient. You know, what would they want us for, though? You know, this is the big question. Why are they here? If it's what they are, you know, if they are the Greys, if they are an actual physical species.
And where are the aliens? Where are they? We, you know, take away all the fake, most of the fake footage. I can't say that all of it is. But, you know, the Nordics and all these others, where are they? And I think that the reason why I focused my attention upon the Greys, as it were, is because they offer us kind of like more clues with regards to their a possible apparent genus. So this is why I fueled my investigations into that area, as well as the UFO phenomena or UAP phenomena. The acronym's changed now, but it's fascinating, isn't it?
It definitely is. And I want to break down your thoughts and insights into what the Greys are in a second here. But first, I want to go back to the military aspect, and I want to get your thoughts on how much do you think that our military is actually been involved. There's some researchers that believe we're highly involved. We have a secret space program that, you know, we possibly working with alien species. There's other researchers that believe there's no possible way our military knows what the hell is going on, and they're just as terrified of it. I don't know. What do you guys think? How involved is our military? How much do you think they really know about this phenomenon?
I myself, Ronnie here, I personally think they're a little bit wiser to it. But as for some kind of space force, no. I'm not knocking anyone else. It's my own personal opinion. No, there's no space force. There's nothing of the kind. They are advanced. They're advancing the military, and I'm not doubting they have some incredible equipment. But nothing such as an alliance with the aliens or a space force. I don't believe that. I don't believe they have control over them. They have no control over these things. That's why they try and cover it. They cover radar signals. They silence people. They know there's something. They're trying to understand it. And there's an old saying, silence is golden.
Yeah, although we have different opinions, me and Ronnie, we do get on very famously, but we do have a different ideas. I think there could be a possibility that a certain faction of the military-industrial complex has themselves some kind of exotic technology, and that this is only afforded to the super rich. That could be a possibility. I mean, we've got to be open to that suggestion. Myself, on a personal level, I believe that there may be a department, I'm absolutely convinced, within the secret military elite that have themselves this kind of technology that perhaps can morph, because we must understand that those aliens, as we call them, it's a very cliched word, yeah, that they perhaps use their mind to create matter. Now, we do it through this form. We've got to think about that, because everything imagined, people think that imagination is a little box in their head that opens up now and again and imagines things. Well, the human brain is a receiver and a transmitter, and we receive information on a, you know, every day, on a daily basis, within nanoseconds. And it's how we fuel that image to that we imagine that we tend to create, if it's possible, on a physical level. But these beings could possibly be able to manifest, you know, physical reality, their reality around them instantly. And as they come into our reality, that their energy seems to morph or, you know, bring themselves into this dimension where we are. Perhaps it could be possible by using materials here to, you know, bring themselves into shape and form. But going back to that question, yes, I believe that there is a faction that knows not everything, and that's probably why they've been spying on researchers to see what they know or what they've picked up about this thing. And they probably then take that information for themselves. So I think it's, you know, it's like chasing shadows. You know, who are we to trust? Are we to trust our own military? Not all of them, because the military, God love them, are wonderful people, and you know, you can't knock them, but I'm talking about the secret military elite. Do we trust them? Do we trust the aliens? Let's face it and be honest. And we have, you know, we're black and white with anything. Our species is not a trusting species. And you know, so at that end, who is fooling who and who is chasing whom? But I love the fact that we are researchers are moving themselves together. They're uniting their efforts and they're trying to bring all this information to the table. And this is what brings me back to the military or governmental aspect of this. Nigel Ross, a good friend of mine, who created New Force, the National UFO Reporting Service, he tried very hard to access, you know, files from the public to bring them in so that they're not going to be secreted. So I wrote to Parliament, which is in effect like the Senate in America. And we are of the understanding that the Parliament is supposed to be there for the people. At least that's what we're led to believe. However, I wrote to a prominent figure who had been involved with another very famous UFO case, asking her whether or not we could meet with a group of us and lay everything on the table and set up a department within government where we could, you know, bash ideas around to bring everything to the table. And do you know what was surprising? All I got back was silence.
Yeah, this is the point I will make. The point I'll make. I don't blame them. Oh, you know, people can give you flack for saying this. I don't blame the military for covering up. If that Roswell ship crashed in 1947, where it did, and it was exotic hardware, you can't blame the military for covering it up. How can you blame them? Because if they're open to it, the whole world will want a peace. They had to create some kind of guard. And also, in effect, if the world knew that the United States had retrieved exotic hardware from an alien race, think about the other countries, Russia, China, they'll be up in arms. Why is it delivered to the US and not us? Why are they so special? So we now see a pattern where the military has to be very careful diplomatically and politically. They have to guard their own backs. I know it was after the Cold War during that. So, you know, they had to be very careful. So I don't blame them for covering it up. But unfortunately, this is what causes conspiracies. And of course, you know, hearsay and all that. So we're never going to truly know. But as for the fact of them being around here or existing, yes, there is some kind of alien force or extraterrestrial or off-world presence that is acting out, or, you know, it has been doing for decades or hundreds of years. It's just trying to find out what it is. And I think it's wonderful. It's like Sherlock Holmes with a puzzle, isn't it?
We used to believe he was a real man until our grandfather, our maternal grandfather, we used to call him the professor, He bought us all the books, and the day that he told us that he wasn't real, I was devastated, because we really believed he was a real person. And of course, you know, it's like, you know, with anything, that you build something up and then you find out it's an illusion. But we know that the UFO phenomena now, all those years of the media, downplaying it and making a lot of us look like we were fools. And now, all of a sudden, it's like that's all disappeared. They backtracked. And did you notice also, I love a lot of famous people. I'm not tainting them all with the same brush. But did you notice how famous people were then coming forward just before the release of this report that was nine pages from the Senate and, you know, the governmental, you know, and then all of a sudden they were coming out, bumping up their profiles and saying they've always believed in UFOs. And what was really laughable, when it all went down the plug hole, they disappeared. It's like, what does that tell you? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the true people are like you and many other people that we know that are the true researchers that are trying to dig and dig and dig, and, you know, are not, you know. So that's the way I see it. And it's humorous. You've got to be humored by it, because it made me laugh.
Oh, it is. It's very funny what they're doing, too. I mean, they'll throw it out there in the media, in the news, you know, all UFOs exist, and then they'll reel it back. But it could be the Russians. Yeah. It could be swamp gas. You know, they keep throwing it out there and reeling it back. I don't know if it's some kind of strategy for some kind of slow leak disclosure or what, but it's definitely interesting to see what's happening now. But we got to talk about the Greys, because this is really fascinating to me. There's an aspect of the Greys where some of them seem to be more android or robotic. A lot of reports of the smaller Greys seeming to have no human traits or emotion. And then there's reports of maybe medium to smaller Greys that have emotional traits and maybe look or appear more humanoid. What are your experiences with these Greys? What type of Greys have you been dealing with?
Well, my own opinion of them is I consider two options of them. Now, one of them, I just state, it could be possible. I know people are going to say it's ridiculous. It's not. Is it possible they're the dead, offered retribution in this form? Because they do look quite embryonic. I might be wrong, and I accept that. I'm just throwing it out there. Or secondly, is this a force that can create them as we create probes to send to Mars? You know, like they don't take on the form of us. This force or this intelligence builds little men to act as eyes and ears. So it's quite possible they could be androids or clones. That's where you've been researching. Yeah, the experience that I had back in 1989, there were Greys there. They were the classic 3-foot-tall, large-headed ones. But the one that I saw, well, there were three of them, actually, but two when I was being departed or shoved off, whatever it was I was in. They call it a UFO, but it was creamy-colored. Now, the suggestion that these beings are robotic, I do not dispute that fact. But the only problem I have with that is these Greys, although there's different factions of them, are interested in human reproduction. Now, why would a biological mechanism, almost like a robot with some kind of physiology that's almost linking on a biological level, at least that's what I think, is there any way that they can attain a soul, consciousness, individuality? That I'm not quite sure about. And how the Greys come into our dimension of reality is rather like Star Trek. I mean, they can walk through walls, and they seem to be around someone and they focus a lot of their attention through the eyes. So, and this is how they control their subject. Now, unless they've got some form of advanced machinery, I don't know. We just don't know. I think we're dealing with something that is far more disturbing and not quite mechanical in nature. If they are clones, it could be possible that when they had cloned themselves, this draws into the equation of the soul consciousness that we understand, or I do, that when we die, like the signals to a mobile phone network system, once the physical hardware is finished with, the signal will return to source or perhaps find another conduit to connect with, complete with memories.
So if the greys are interested in a process of reproduction, it tells me that these beings, or a faction of them, if I may, because we have to be very careful, have infiltrated this dimension of reality and bringing the real essence of the individual, the abductee, into their space, their time, their dimension of reality. Remember, if you go to a near-death experience, when the person is dying and then reports the light in the tunnel and meeting their loved ones, communication is done via telepathy. It's the world that they're in is more real than the world they left behind. And when they return to the body, if the body is diseased, in a lot of cases, the biological form regenerates, cures itself from the illness on their return. Now, with an abduction, the person, and this could also account for the sense of timelessness, where the registry of the memories cannot be instantly accessed, because the real part of the consciousness of that individual has been taken out of space-time entirely. And as astronauts have also explained, that when they're in space, or things are very different for them, they change. So I think we're looking at a species or some type of being that is far more than just mechanical in nature.
Yeah, I mean, they could have been cloned by a superior race and used as robots to do their bidding.
Yes, there's that, but they're also interested in reproduction. Now, that is worrying. This is why I'm thinking, why would a species that cannot reproduce create something that is a new genus or a new form of what they represent? And I think this might have something to do with perhaps some kind of soul integration or a spark of awareness linked into the vessel or the hub of their container of the being. We don't know. And of course, the model that I've created, I'm still working on. And one man said to me once in one lecture, he said, "We're all clones." And I said, "Yes, we are, but with a difference, because we have individuality."
Yes, being twins, Philip and I, you can see we don't agree on everything, and that's good, isn't it?
That is good.
I mean, I don't conform to that. I've got different opinions on them. But of course, we are entitled to them anyway.
Of course. This is the wonderful, healthy thing about it. By putting things on the table, I think that is wonderful, yeah.
Now, I want to talk about what a lot of people kind of check out when they look at this topic is the more kind of global nefarious aspect that could be occurring behind this phenomenon and whatever it is that's controlling it. Now, you just kind of mentioned, Ronald, your book, The Digital Demon, and how it could possibly portray what's going on and where we could be led into our future. And there's many that believe we are being definitely led in a certain direction by some unseen force, especially yeah. When you look at the world we're living in now and everything that's occurring around us, you know, being pushed to more of a materialistic world, being, you know, the metaverse is coming out. They want people to stay home, plug in, and just stay there, stay in this kind of system that's being created. And to me, that seems pretty nefarious. So what are your thoughts on what could be happening with our future and these entities?
A Luciferian age, the mark of the beast.
Right.
Yeah, that's what my book does actually touch on as well. As we will call them, the demons, the fallen angels, an ancient war that is reoccurring or beginning to be reinstated by the king, Lucifer. I'm actually open to that because, you know, this is another thing. As we're down the rabbit hole, let's go even further. I mean, they use religion as a weapon. They use aliens as a weapon. You know, any kind of subject that is controversial, they will use as a weapon against you. I am absolutely open to the fact that it could be possible that we are looking at the rise of Lucifer, or as we call him, Lucifer. There must be some truth to the stories. I'm sorry, there must be. There's no smoke without fire, and I've always believed it. I believe there's good and bad, but there is. And you're right, Chris, when you state, I've noticed since I was a child, before, as we, the pre-digital to the digital, and you are seeing an alarming amount of control being instigated by the media and by the politicians. They won't admit it, but we're being steered.
I look upon it like sheep being herded into a pen by a sheepdog. You know, it looks like that. It appears like that. And of course, every single time we raise protest, we are squashed. They're very clever. But I think also there is hope for us, because I think they're also very weak. But it's as if something was rising. This is what I get the impression of in the world. Something good was rising, spiritual awareness, an opening, a reform, some light, and they were aware of it. So they created something, we won't mention what, many things, to completely crush.
Bring it down.
Crush and isolate and contain. So I love that theory, and I'm with you on that, Chris. The Luciferian, and we can't, I know people will say, you know, you're religious, we're not. I'm not, but I believe in a God. I believe some kind of deity that gave rise to all this.
Or a force, consciousness.
A force. But so why not Lucifer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's an obvious dark and light kind of agenda going on, so, you know, why not?
Absolutely, and the other thing that we have to look at here is that with this damning, you know, evidence of control from the media and also from the puppets, the puppet masters themselves are pulling the strings. We're moving into a very dark age. Now, I always used to do a little experiment many years ago about consciousness. And I think the system that we serve has condensed our consciousness, you know, kind of like, as Ronnie says, herded us all in. There were some days where I thought, you know, I'm going to be, not that I'm not positive, but I thought I'm going to really be positive today. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help everyone. And I'm just, and you know what was happening? Every time I did that, I would get some really horrible situation that challenged that. And my idea on a conscious level is that maybe on a higher level or frequency that, you know, there's a force that can see that you're trying to escape this bubble of negativity, and because, you know, and then it's like, no, we're going to pull you down. That's why a lot of people, and this is another area I've been researching, who do go into UFO research or in any other area like psychic research or, you know, life after death, they find a lot of the time that they're really challenged. And some people have actually given up because they've had so many bad things happen to them. And so I think there is a nefarious energy or intelligence that is aware, obviously, of every one of us, because we're all connected on a simian level of consciousness, that once those droplets start to remove from the main, you know, herd, it's like, oh, no, that's bad news. And it's possible that even knowingly or unknowingly that those individuals seem to appear different. And this is why perhaps these other dimensions of awareness are interested in them, because they're not of the central hub of control. But certainly Ronnie's right, and you're right. I mean, the way we're looking at this, it's a draconian empire. You know, they're not giving us anything, and it's everything. A lot of it, sadly, is faked, and that is the truth of the, you know, the, not ufology, but with the media, and look at this and look at that, and dumbing us down. But I think a lot of people are now waking up, and I tell all of them, wake up if you want to, you know, look at things your way and not the way that you're being programmed.
I've always said, you're talking about that. I've noticed that as well. It's the mirror effect. I call it the mirror, Chris. You know, a mirror. You know, you're going to be happy, it's going to make you miserable.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be miserable, it's going to make you happy. It's weird, isn't it? I've done that as well.
Balance.
I thought I'm going to be very positive today, and bang, bang, bang. Mm. I always say it's like one of those cartoons where you see the little girl skipping happily along very merrily, and she's holding a bunch of flowers and she's singing, and round the corner there's a nasty wolf. Waiting.
Just watching.
It's true, though, isn't it? It's true.
Metaphorically.
It's quite true, yeah.
Yes, and it makes me look at the aspect that, you know, none of it seems that none of our reality is truly physical. That you mentioned programming a couple of times,
yes.
And I hear that more and more every day, that we're being programmed, we're part of a program. And it makes me think, what if we are some sort of, you know, I hate the word simulated reality, but what better term to use when it comes to this? Our holographic reality, something that's programmable and malleable and not really physical, because the more you look at this, the more it seems seems that our reality is very programmable and that it can be changed even by our will and consciousness.
Yeah, and you know, you've got to look at the universe, and people, they get a headache by thinking about it, but you've got to look at it. Is it expanding? And if it is, if we're contained in something, what's on the other side? Are we from the, you know, have we been born, or is there a womb of another universe that's created this one? Are there multiple universes? Now, in terms of the way we look at that, in terms of, you know, holograms or a projection of reality, those people that cross over to the other side, I have to state here, that is another reality. And they're more than happy in a lot of cases to separate from this one. It's almost as if there's some kind of universal acceptance or understanding. Think of it like this, Chris. You know, our consciousness is limited in this biological form. And it, because, you know, if anything comes along or through the net that we're recording, you know, we can be disabled slightly, like UFO phenomena, ghost spirits, whatever, deja vu. And I think that because we're tethered to this material existence, that's going to continue to happen. It's only when the signaling is removed or the biological form dies that the new realities begin to emerge. And it's fascinating, and I think this is why we're steering more into the interdimensional hypothesis, because we can skip from one reality to another. So in essence, nothing here will be real to us when we've removed ourselves from this material existence. There'll be another existence. I was just saying, I also thought about, you know, when you look out into space, it's such a crying shame, and I've thought about this again and again, why most of it's dead in our present area. It's all dead apart from us. And, you know, when scientists or astronomers state that they found an Earth-like planet, well, sure, it might be, but it's billions of light years away, comfortably out of reach, so we're not troubled by the aliens. So it keeps the propaganda and the conditioning in place. You know, if there are aliens, they don't exist. You can't win,
or they can't get to you.
Yeah.
Right, and when you look at space, you know, there's mounting evidence that we may not have even gone to places that we're saying that we are, and a lot of the images and things of that nature that come from NASA aren't really real. So it makes you wonder, you know, have we gone to space? What's really out there? Can we go? Are we allowed to? You know, is there, you know, are we in a section of the solar system that's kind of quarantined to like a human growth program or a spiritual growth program? I don't know. It's very interesting to consider all those aspects, though.
I think the saddest part of all of this is the reality, the saddest part to all of this within the world today is that many people would prefer to believe a half-truth or a lie. And that's not all their fault, because it's because of systematic programming by a system that, and if a simple example here, and people say, oh no, they're shocked, horror, but it's true, go on AOL. What do you see on there? Bad news. Warning, disturbing footage, because they want you to go in and watch it. And this literally clarifies how the fear, how the control, perhaps by a systematic, group of very sinister people are trying to gear for themselves what they want. I mean, you know, and I absolutely feel there's more involved with this. There's more than just the UFOs. I mean, it's possible as well that as these energies come into our dimension of reality, that as they're forcing themselves through, it could be causing a rip in time and space and creating this residue of paranormal activity to settle for a while, become distorted. We don't know. But
if I was going to land on the moon, if I had planned a program to land on the moon, and we were not sure of it because you've got a very cultured world, I would make sure I have a studio as well so that we can flick switches if something very odd happens.
Or show the
That's all I'm going to say about it. So you can't blame them anywhere, I suppose.
You can't blame them.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, it seems that we're entering a very crucial time with the development of our spirituality and consciousness and the opposition trying to crush that and push it down. But it seems that it's you know, I don't think that they're going to be able to keep it down. There's more people breaking free or coming online every day, it seems, you know, waking up, realizing their true true potential and realizing that they're being lied to about everything. And I think that the more that that occurs and the more this kind of snowball effect of a consciousness awakening keeps occurring, that this is going to be reversed. I think that we can get back to a time and our era in this incarnation where we may not be as controlled and lied to and manipulated as in the past. I don't know. What do you think?
Go ahead.
Well, look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Egyptian dynasty. They all collapsed in the end. They were powers, sometimes brutal, but they collapsed. Nothing lasts. So I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
I think also that the system that we serve, and I call it the system in my works, I think it's losing its power, and it's utilized this last desperate attempt to create more fear and control. Now, the other thing is that with regards to this system, it feeds off negativity, it feeds off power, it feeds off control, and you know, all these other attributes that are negative. And I think that the system needs a conspiracy to conceal its own, because they don't want any transparency to anything that's going to be, you know, revealed. And this is why they very cleverly created the word conspiracy theorist. But no, we have to change that to conspiracy realist, because a lot of people can sniff all of the rubbish that they've been seeping into the, you know, to the areas of investigation, whatever that subject matter may be, to cover their own dark deeds. But I do believe that, you know, in retribution to that, when it's discovered that we are far more than just biological robots that are actually for the system ATM devices, because each and every one of us are just a cash handout for them, when they discover that people are waking up, that they're beginning to realize that, hang on a minute, you know, you're telling us that there's nothing in the universe, that it's all dead, that we live and we die, and there's nothing to look at. No, that is completely rubbish. And I think it's wonderful that all these people now are coming together to put their hand up, and they're asking the right questions, but not getting the correct answers. So this is why I think it's wonderful that we have all each other to connect to now and again, to, you know, offload, as it were, and to make sure that, you know, that we're all bringing these ideas to the table. So I say the subject matter is for every one of us. No one has exclusive rights to the phenomena. We're all, and I can just see it. I visualize this, you know, a scene of every one of those truthful, wonderful, hardworking researchers all together at that point when the truth will be revealed. That would be a most wonderful moment. I know it's not going to happen. It's some kind of fantasy scene in my head, but we would all connect with that.
I think with any kind of dystopia, some kind of tyrannical rule, there is always an Achilles heel. Look at Hitler. Look at Rome, look at Egypt, look at them all of them. They were crushed in the end, or they fell, they disappeared, you know? And that's saying it respectfully. Mm. So control, and they were controlled. Mm. They had an emperor, they had pharaohs, they had a dictator. They were controlled, ruthless, but they all ended up as dust.
Yeah.
So you know what? The point being is that there's always hope. There's always an Achilles heel, however great or magnificent the enemy or the dictator or whatever the force may be, there's always a weakness.
Because we all come to a physical end at some point. We all come to a physical end. And I think that, you know, these draconians who are in charge, who are in control, must realize that they have to face, or may have to face, their actions beyond this sphere of reality. So I'm not going to get involved. I'm not judge or executioner. And, you know, I don't understand all of what goes on. But what they say, what they soweth, I shall reap. And so, you know, but while a lot of them are here, the fat cats are here, bleeding us dry, as well as controlling us, I think that's starting to break apart now, and that people are now saying, hang on just a minute, I need to ask a question. And people are rebelling. especially in workforces, like the draconian control, even in small departments of work where they've got someone in charge and making your life hell and you're doing a job you don't want to do. People are fed up with it now. They're like, I don't want to do a dead-end job and then have a few years left, even if you do survive that, of enjoyment and then be, you know, piled with all these bills and these increasing costs. I think it's wonderful that people are now taking charge of their lives and saying, I want to do this and I'm going to do that. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, we're definitely living in interesting and fascinating times, to say the least. I want to close on this question and your perspective on hybrids and what could be occurring with people who say, you know, they see their hybrid children or they're having, you know, either eggs or sperm or DNA tinkered with whenever they're, you know, supposedly on these ships or being taken by these entities. And there's many that believe that, you know, there are hybrids entities among us that may be part of this malevolent program to slowly replace humans. I just want to get your thoughts on the hybrid aspect of people that have experienced this phenomenon.
Okay, my own opinion is, if the Greys are workers, worker bees on behalf of a higher intelligence, I don't see any reason why not. It's quite possible they'd be tampering with DNA, they would do. The problem I personally have is, if the Greys are hybridizing people or creating a new race, they wouldn't tell them. Why would they tell them? Why would they arm them with that knowledge? Would it be better to keep it secret?
Yes, and my thoughts on that is that I in no way dispute that. I have no right to dispute that. It's a great possibility. But the other thing is that I agree. I think this goes far beyond what we're being told. The Greys themselves lie. They're not always honest to the people that are abducted. And there is a hybridization program. There is a process of replication going on. But my research is leading me into areas of why this is happening and why they continuously, as Ronald said earlier, they fool us. They won't give us any answers to anything. They're not going to tell us their modus operandi. That's all very secret. And I think it goes beyond our physical and material understanding. I think this goes into areas of perhaps quantum consciousness, soul survival, the area that most people don't want to look at. And this is what, you know, I've been looking at. And I am working on some new theories as well that connects with that. That area. So I'm working on some new work, new projects, new books there.
I don't believe they're, if they are hybridizing, yes, they would for experimentation. Most scientists would. If they're a new race, they would. They're curious.
Yeah, of course they would.
But to take over the world, no, I don't believe that at all, Chris. I don't believe that.
Oh, it'd be like the invasion of the body snatchers. Perhaps it's really happening. Well, that our groups are getting smaller and smaller.
It's like that film, isn't it? The Midwich Cuckoo.
Yeah.
But no, I think they are. They would do. If they were doing that, yes, they would. Because they're scientists, they would experiment. If they're masters of cloning, they can do most things. But to take over the world, I don't believe that.
And just very, very quickly, an interesting point there. I believe in hybridization and people because their soul group may have come from the Pleiades or, you know, wherever, Sirius system. And that is every possibility because we have to also encompass areas of reincarnation and not just on a human level. So this is another area that's fascinating that I've been looking into.
Believe me, the Greys, if they're advanced as they are, they could find much more convenient methods of ruling the earth than just creating hybrids. Yeah.
Right. Man, we're going to have to get together and do another show. You mentioned soul survival and soul transfer and consciousness transfer and things of that nature. So
yeah.
I want to get into your research on that. That's going to take up a whole nother show. So looking forward to getting back together with you on that one. And gentlemen, thank you so much. That was really fantastic information. Like I said, we're going to have you back on in the future. Before you head out, let everyone know if they're interested in finding your books, if there's a website, social media, all that good stuff. Where can they find you?
Yeah, our website is www.thekinsellatwins.com, and I've released a book through Philip Mantle, You, the Public Deceived, The Grand UFO Deception. And I know that he's republishing very shortly Sky Crash Throughout Time, that I co-authored with the British investigator Brenda Butler about Rendlesham Forest, and also about the UFOs before and afterwards, and the strange case of the reptilian man. So there's other books in the pipeline as well.
And I've got The Digital Demon that's been published, and that goes into the demon aspect. So that goes into Lucifer, and I'm hard-hearted. I'll go in like a bull in a china shop. You know, I don't have any.
Where angels fear to tread.
Where angels fear to tread. But you want to have a look at it. It's also autobiographical as well, part of it. So.
That's great. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again. There's tons of stuff we could talk about. So thank you guys for coming on, and we'll be definitely talking again soon. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will be talking again tomorrow.
Thank you.